Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. That's putting it right when it happened, isn't it? I like the fact that God tells us what happens and he tells us when it happened. And if you were a student of the Bible, you could find out about a time frame that this took place. And he tells us who the king was, and he tells us who the king of Judah was. Of course, the children of Israel had now split into two kingdoms because of pride. And we have the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. See, Hezekiah was the king of Judah, and Jeroboam was the king of Israel. We see the exact time of this story. Look in verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. The Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. The Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. She conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. We're going to continue a few verses here in the chapters in just a minute, but we come to this book of Hosea, and I want us to look at a few things this morning concerning how Hosea is a picture of redemption. We have, first of all, I want us to look at this command that God gives to Hosea. Hosea was a contemporary of Amos in the land of Israel, the northern kingdom, and of Isaiah and Micah, the great prophets that we've read of from the Bible in the southern kingdom of Judah. They were his fellow preachers. And I don't understand the command that God would give to a prophet. He says, go and receive to yourself a woman of ill repute, a woman of whoredoms. I don't understand why God would do such a thing and give such a command. Nevertheless, he does. Well, after all, Hosea is one of the prophets of God. He's gone through that kingdom of God, and he's proclaimed, and he said, this is what we need to do. We need to turn towards God. And he, with Amos, has gone to the land of Israel, and they called for the land of Israel to return to God after having left God. Can you imagine if Hosea and Micah and Isaiah and Amos all lived in today's age? It wouldn't be long before, if they were like preachers of today, that one of them would get on the horn with the other one and, hey, Brother Isaiah, did you hear about Brother Hosea and who he married? They begin to spread an ill word. I don't think Isaiah and Micah were men like that. But can you imagine God giving you such a command as someone who loves the Lord, who wants the right thing for the children of Israel? And can you imagine that Hosea's thoughts at the beginning of this is this what God really wants me to do? And we see here that God has given a command to Hosea that's hard to bear, but God still, in the midst of a command that we don't understand, and we don't understand, we may not have the ability to grasp our minds around the fact that God would do such a thing. Nevertheless, God did, and Hosea obeyed. Let me ask you this. I don't think God's going to do such a thing today. The Word of God has been completed. We have the complete... I mean, let me say this. All of the Word of God was settled in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there was a time frame where man had not received all of that finished Word of God in the Old Testament time. Man had not received all of that yet. It was there. God had not yet finished the framework of compilation where man had the whole context, the Old and New Testaments. We understand that, right?
Amen.
We understand also that what's happening in the book of Hosea, though God had already planned it out and had it written in His Word and preserved for us, these were happening as Hosea was living. And God is saying to Hosea, God has given us the canon of Scripture, all 66 books of the canon of Scripture. We have the complete Word of God. Thank God we have the complete Word of God in our hands today. That's been preserved for us, and we praise God for that. Hosea didn't have that privilege. What he had was God speaking to him directly. And that makes me think sometimes about this command. What if God spoke to you directly? What if he came? It'd scare me to death, I believe, if God were to come and say, hey, I want you to do such and such. And then for God to say something to me like he said to Hosea, I wonder if I would be the type of person to say, but God, are you sure you know what you're doing? And question God, but nevertheless, Hosea obeyed. And there's a lesson there. Even though we may not understand, God's not going to, because we have the canon of Scripture, require that one of His children today who serve Him as a preacher or an evangelist, I don't think God's going to ever require anything like that. He's given us the full canon of Scripture. We're doing nothing but obeying the Word of God in today's present age as we've been given the Word of God. But let me ask you this question. If God gives you a difficult task, dear Christian, are we willing to be able to say, I will be the illustration, I will perform the difficult task you asked me to perform, also your message can go forth. And that's what Hosea really is doing. He has become a living illustration of the will of God, and that illustration is God's relationship to Israel, as his relationship is demonstrated to Gomer. And he obeys God. He does what God wants him to. And that means that took a full obedience from Hosea's part. Now that's part of the story. You can't see the story of Hosea and Gomer without coming to this. And we see some consequence. We see the cause. Let's look at the cause of some things that have happened now. We see God says to Hosea to do something, the command of God to Hosea, but now let's look at the consequence. God says to Hosea, I want you to have three children. He says, first of all, so I want you to bear a son, and I want you to name his name Jezreel. When you look at the name Jezreel, and I don't have time this morning, but if you'll take the name Jezreel and you'll go back in the history of the children of Israel, there is a time where the children of Israel did not do right by the people that were in the land or in the area of Jezreel. And God says, because you did not do right, I'm going to remember that. You're going to name this first son that you're going to bear Jezreel, and that's going to be a reminding of judgment. Judgment. So if you wanted to know what the term of Jezreel means, it means judgment. And God says to the children of Israel, I want us to lay aside and I want us to begin to think about this name Jezreel, which means judgment. You're going to bear him. And why is his name judgment? Because you have departed from the living God. Did you know that as children of the Lord, it's easy for us to depart from the living God? But also as children of Adam, it was Adam and Eve who in the Garden of Eden chose to sin, chose to do what was not the right thing to do. And as they sinned, the human race departed from the living God. And because of that departing from the living God, all the way back from the book of Genesis, God put forth judgment on this world, didn't he? He put forth judgment upon the beast of the field. He put forth judgment upon the woman in childbirth. He put forth judgment against the man in labor. I don't like to labor, do you? I have to labor, right? I get to labor, I have a body. But we understand that the Bible says in the book of Genesis, because of the sin of man, judgment came down. And more than just the judgment of physical labor against a man, by the sweat of his brow, he's going to earn his bread. There's also the judgment of forever being separated from God in the second death that's given to us in the book of Revelation. Because of the sin of Adam, all men have sinned, the Bible tells us. Amen? We understand that there is a judgment that's there. How would you like to go to the dinner table with your mom and dad and say, "Hey, judgment, pass the beans." "Hey, judgment, did you do your homework today?" "Hey, judgment." And names meant something in the day's society. And Jezreel is a reminder. How would you like to sit there with your wife and with your son and think his name is Jezreel, and God saying, "I'm going to judge the children of Israel"? And it's always constant before Hosea, the name of judgment. Let's read on a little bit further about the consequence of Hosea's obedience. And so he went and took Gomer, verse 3. And the Lord said, "Call his name Jezreel," verse 4. And then look in verse 6. I want to notice something very carefully. I'm not going to put concrete terms on it, but I want you to notice and think about it. When Jezreel was born, it says in verse 3, "So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him," Hosea, son. Now let's continue on now. "And she conceived again." It could be that it was Hosea's daughter, because God tells, because God says, "Let's name her." And God said to him, "Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel." So the second one is born, and her name is a daughter. And God says, this one we're going to call Lo-Ruhamah. Lo is the prefix meaning none. You can take no mercy was her name. So now we have the son, Jezreel, whose name meant judgment. We have the daughter whose name was Lo-Ruhamah, which means no mercy. And he's simply sitting there and says, "Now, Hosea, this is going to be a demonstration to the children of Israel, what I've asked you to do. The woman of ill repute I've asked you to marry. And they're going to see you and your family. And they're going to see your son. And his name is going to be Jezreel," or judgment. "And they're going to see your daughter. And her name is going to be no mercy. Because I'm not going to show mercy upon the children of Israel." And then he says something that's different. Look what he says in verse 7. "But I will have mercy." Well, Lord, are you going to show mercy or are you not going to show mercy? He says in verse 6, he says, "Call her name no more. I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel." But he says, "I will have mercy upon the house of Judah," the different kingdoms, "and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen, but my word," he says. In other words, what's happening? What's it mean here, Brother Ward? You've got to remember that the children of Israel chose to have a king, didn't they? God said, "I'll set you up. I will be the one who leads you. But God, we need a king." Okay, so forth, way back in the history of Israel, there's a consequence for why everything's happening. God's given a picture through the life of Hosea of the things that have happened. And he says, "Remember, I said I would be the king over you, and you wanted your own king over you. You set your own king above you. You set him there, and as you set him there, you blew it. Because pride soon set in, and then there was a certain time when the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Israel split after the death of Solomon because of the pride of men's hearts. And because of that, I'm going to remind you," he says here, "I'm not going to show mercy to the northern kingdom. I'm going to show mercy to one kingdom, Judah." Judah. Now that's deep study. If you want to study the life of the kingdom of Israel, we'll do that. But let's make application a little bit deep, a little bit less extended than that. Let's go now and think about that. How would you like to be the little girl who was called No Mercy? How would you like to grow up? And every little girl likes to have a feeling of importance, doesn't she? She likes to feel like a princess, doesn't she? She likes her daddy to love her, doesn't she? And how would you like to be the little girl, ladies, whose daddy said, "Hey, no mercy, go get me something out of the cupboard"? I don't guess they had cupboards back then, but
what? It's a reminder. No mercy. No mercy is not based upon God and God alone. No mercy is based upon the choice of man.
And God's simply saying, just like we children of Adam, we one day were placed under the judgment of sin. The book of Revelation tells us that whosoever was cast in the lake of fire, that's called the second death, those who have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior for salvation from their sin. And they have the reminder of judgment upon their lives, but their lives also in life, listen carefully, have the reminder of no mercy. We are a merciless generation, aren't we? But we've always been a merciless generation because of sin. It's just more people are upon the earth, so there's more evidence of no mercy. You study the history of mankind, there's bloodshed and war and hatred and unspeakable things that happen to mankind. There's always been sodomy. There's always been all kinds of sin. It just happens to be there's more people today. And man has always been mankind who's under sin, no mercy. Go down the road, beloved. Take your Bible quickly. Hold your place here in Hosea. We're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. There's a couple of verses here about those who do not like to retain God in their knowledge in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. By the way, Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, was the instrument that was used to pen these words in the first century. And look at the sins that he mentions. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, what class? Unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, there's judgment and there's unmercy right there. Knowing the judgment of God. Now notice what they've done with God when they know that the judgment of God's upon them. That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What a shame this human race has been. But our human race is a direct comparison to the life of Gomer and the children, just like the children of Israel are. We've left God and God says judgment. We've continued to leave God and we've continued to ignore God. God reminds us, no mercy. We are a merciless generation. Well, Brother Ward, not here in Indiana. Oh, yes, in Indiana. Just go to the red light and wait 5 seconds after the light turns green. You blankety blank 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 brown. I was told one time and taught by Pastor Sexton, he says, be courteous when you drive. And he says, and one thing that you do when you're courteous when you drive, don't on the horn. If you're trying to get somebody's attention, he says, what you do is a polite beep, beep. But he says, don't be one of those rude people. Hey, idiot, get out of the way. Why do people do things like that? Because they are demonstrating the merciless lives that they live because of sin. And that's just a reminder of judgment. Now let's look on back to Hosea. So we have the consequence of the obedience of Hosea and God's command. And let's look now. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhama, she conceived. And notice this, it doesn't say and bear him. It says and bear a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Isn't that sad? Isn't that like the human race? Let's be reminded. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Hold your place here in Hosea. And let's see the condition of mankind. The book of Ephesians does deal with the Gentile. And we are Gentiles here, unless there's some Jewish people I'm not aware of who have been saved. Praise the Lord. And we're dealing with this here. And God says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being what, class? aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Isn't that the human condition? Isn't it the way we are as human beings? We brought sin upon ourselves. We brought judgment upon ourselves. The result of that judgment also tells us that we live outside of the bounds of Christ. We live merciless lives. But also there's a third child here, and they don't even know if it was Hosea's child, because it says here in Scripture, in the book of Hosea, it didn't say she bare him a son. It says she bare a son. And all of her sin and all of the debauchery that she lived in, she bare him a son, and they called his name, not my child. Excuse me for what I'm about ready to say. We've heard the name, we've heard the term bastard, right? Excuse me. I don't mean to be unkind. In the book of Hebrews, we're given that word, right? That word there. I don't like to be ugly. That's not my intention. I hope that when I use that word. But how would you like to be called that word as a child every day? Kids are, these little bus kids are probably. My children went to a Bible camp this past week with their uncle. Their uncle is a pastor in Illinois, and he likes to have them come along. He has a smaller church, and it's a blessing for them to go and add to their numbers. And as they went, my daughter came and told my wife a story about a little girl she met. And she began to tell stories about, well, I don't get this, and I don't get that. And you know, sometimes kids tell stories, but sometimes they're telling you the truth, and we as adults, we like to shade over the unspeakable things that can happen to bus kids. But what is the unspeakable things that happen to bus kids? That's just a demonstration of this human race, this human condition. God says in the book of Ephesians, he says, you were without hope. That's some of the saddest words in the Bible, without hope. There's the condition. There's the command from God. There's the consequence. What's the remedy? I'm thankful that story doesn't end here, aren't you? God says to him, he says, now look in chapter 3 of Hosea, if you would please, in verse 1. Then, we're talking about redemption. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. Yet, notice that, yet we love him because he first loved us. What great love is it that a God would love us even in our sin? Amen. I didn't have to perform to some kind of level. I didn't have to speak, excuse me, I don't know your background. I have to speak and run a bead through my hand and say a prayer to some woman who wouldn't want you praying to her anyway in order to be accepted before God. We loved him because he first loved us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what a beautiful picture of redemption. I hope you're seeing the picture here. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the who class? Lord. Jehovah God, Jehovah Jireh, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the one who can provide everything necessary for the need. That's every need. And he can surely provide the spiritual need. And continue reading toward the children of Israel who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. And then it says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. For a little bread and a little money. What has life reduced us to? There she is on the slave block, the auction block. She sold herself. She bore the children. She went into the den of iniquity. She loved her flagons of wine. And wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And she went into all of those things. Sold. Like Paul the Apostle says in Romans chapter 7, verse 4, I am sold under sin. Sin is a hard taskmaster, beloved. Oh, what hope do we have? He says, even though she's a sinner, even though she's done things that she's ashamed of, he says, go buy her. He says, I went and I purchased her back to me when she sold herself away. about you, but I remember when before I was saved, I'd already sold myself away under sin. I had sold myself under all the curses that God had. There was the curse of eternal damnation from the presence of God. I had sold myself from all the blessings that God had. I had sold myself from the life that could live in mercy, the life that could live a gracious life. I had sold myself from a life that where I could be called the child of God. And God says, yet I loved him. And I stood on the auction block. And God says, anybody says, who has something to give on this slave of sin? Who has something to offer for this slave to sin? Do I hear a dollar? Maybe $2. Can somebody just give me $2? And he bought Homer for a little bit of bread and a few pieces of silver. Oh, what they don't show you about sin is that the end result of sin always brings you to the auction block. But praise the Lord. From back of the crowd, as I stood condemned, as I stood guilty, as I stood an adulterer before my God, who've gone after my own gods, I hear, I will pay with my blood. Amen. What? You heard me. I will pay with my blood. And he did. Amen. And I praise God that he did. And if you're here this morning, I don't know, and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ paid that purchase redemption for you with his blood. And all you have to do is say, I come to thee. Forgive me. Be my Savior. And he will. Isn't God good? It gets me excited. I'm not going to shout this morning. I should. Wake some of you up, right? Oh, God's good. Here's a good part, though. I want you to turn back to... We're going to go backwards in the book of Hosea and we'll be done. Hosea chapter 2. I want you to notice that in chapter 1 we have the three words, Loami. We have judgment. And we have Lo-Rahama and Loami, the names that are there. In chapter 2 now, God's given hope in the midst of no hope. He says here in verse 1, he says, say ye unto your brethren, what class? Ami. And to your sister, Ruhama. What's he saying now? He's saying, hey, I'm not done dealing with you. I'm not done working with you. But you know what? There's no there. Now your name is Mercy. And now your name is my child. And that's how God works. Those who are not his children, he makes his children through the purchase redemption. Those who have no mercy, he calls them mercy because of the precious purchase of his blood on our behalf. Our God's good and his restorer of them who trust in him. You say, Brother Ward, what's it mean? Have you trusted him? By the way, it's even greater. He's already made the purchase. All you got to do is cash in. And I don't mean to say that. I don't mean that cheaply. I don't mean that cheaply. It was a precious blood that was shed for us. I walked down a Cincinnati street one day when I was young, before I was married. Summer before Lisa and I were married. And I was working in the area for an electrician in the area. And I was there. My heart goes out to people who don't have as much. And I saw this homeless lady on a bridge. I was walking across the bridge. I was taking a Friday evening or a Saturday. I can't remember what day. Maybe Saturday. And I was going to a baseball game. As I went to the baseball game, I was just going to enjoy the game. And there was this homeless lady there. And I said, my heart went out to her. I said, I don't have much. I'm just, you know, not even married, just college-age kid. But I'm going to get her a little meal. They sold little meals of food there right across the bridge right near the ball game. And I bought her a $3-4 meal and walked back to where she was in the middle of that bridge. And I said, here, I'd like for you to have this. She goes, no. And I said, but you don't understand. I'm not trying to hurt you. I just want to give you this meal. I want you to have this meal. No. No. She began to holler loud, "No!" And there was provision for her. All she had to do was receive that provision. But she refused the provision for her. And I walked away, sort of brokenhearted, because here she could have a meal for a day, and a good meal, a nice meal. I'd got her a drink and whatever was in that meal there that they had provided, and she rejected it. And her life continued on probably the same path she would, because she was one who would not accept help. God has already redeemed us by His blood. Provision has been made for those who will just receive provision made and not want to continue in the life of no mercy, not my child, and judgment. May the Lord help us. But what a wonderful picture of redemption we have. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you for the pastor and his willingness to allow me to just be used of thee in some way. We pray that you work in our hearts in the service to follow. Help us to be ready to receive the word of God with eagerness. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.